should we regard you as a criminal or anything related, or how should we yeah, my beautiful audience, I should really, really apologize, because I thought we were already on air, but we were not. But even that, we will just continue and enjoy this show. Yeah, we are on the Ex-Convict Diaries show with your host, Penelope Jonas. And I should really, really welcome you in the studio. And even our viewers on online, we are currently live on Facebook. Please, we expect you also to share your view on what do you think when it's come to the Ex-Convict Diaries. What is your view when it's come to conviction and whatnot? What would you say regarding all the stories that we had last year? And what do you think maybe we need to do more in terms of giving the support, in terms of giving the love, in terms of looking at these people and regard them as they are vulnerable, just like any other person can be vulnerable? And you are supposed to come in just when you look psychological support. You are supposed to go to a psychologist, a counselor. But now looking at these people coming from the correctional facility, what should we do? How should we come in? You as a brother, as a sister, you as a community leader, you as a friend that has been there even before conviction. But this person now is that they are convicted. It's like they have a different story. It's like it's a whole different person. How do you come in and support them? So as I said it earlier, this Sunday, we are reflecting on three stories. We have a 25 years of conviction story. That is a story of Paulus Shimwe Feleni, well-known ninja. He has been incarcerated for more than 25 years. He has been incarcerated for more than 25 years. He has shared his journey of incarceration. If the audience who were privileged to have listened to this story, you have the clue of exactly what we are talking about or what we are going to reflect on. We also have a story of 10 years of conviction, 10 years of incarceration. That is a story of Josiah Paulus. He was sentenced to 15 years of incarceration, and later on, he was given 10 years in the correctional facility. He served there until he was released. He shared his story with us, and that is also what we are going to reflect on this Sunday. Another story is of 1 year, 8 months of conviction. That is for cross-covering Nilenge. We are going also to reflect on his story. And I'm so excited that this reflection is just coming from the beginning of the year, because I believe everyone have their own plans. What are you going to do about your plans? What plans do you have, and how are you going to work on them? And believe me, you plan right, and things don't go as planned always. Not always, you know. You'll be having good plans. But are you sure that all these plans will be preserved? What effort are you making? How ready are you? You know, at what speed? Do you have resources? Do you have the support system? Or how are you going to run it? How are you going to do it? So, our beautiful audience on board, we also expect you to call us in the studio and contribute to the reflection of it, and how do you see us supporting the ex-convicts? Because after all, us having these stories, we just don't want people to come in the studio and start telling us their incarceration journey. For us just to know like that, it's because we want to support them. We do not want these people to come back here. The correctional facility did so much when it's come to rehabilitation and reintegration. They are ready and they are back in the society. They are here now, right? But imagine you are a brother, you are a sister, you are a cousin, you are a parent. And then it's just that one household of yours that keeps coming back from the correctional facility, going back, coming back, going back. It's always that person. How will you feel? You'll be disappointed, right? Because after all, you expect them to change as well. But Now, coming to changes, are you contributing? Are you part of the support system? Are you contributing to their well-being? Hmm? You know you are that cousin of the family whereby at least you are good at the computer. You know your cousin is good at what. This person can build. This person can do welding. This person can do carpentry. This person can do what. But it's even just difficult for you to say, no, Kaza, give me, let me make a CV for you. Give me your ID. You can take your CV way. Maybe they can just employ you so that you'll be able to get something little for yourself. Because don't tell me that you expect this person to come from the correctional facility, come sit in the house, so relax when this person don't even have cosmetics. This person don't even have even just clothes. This person have nothing for himself or for herself. Mangiki no chakucha no, tambulo doro karande something. This person did not do anything for himself or herself. This person is an adult that has feelings, an adult that have thoughts, that keeps, want to have his own plans. But now that you are there, what are you doing? Or you are just waiting to throw shades, to criticize this person once they commit another crime again. What role are you playing? What are you doing? You as a community leader, what implementation do you see that your community needs to do? What project needs to be implemented so that you want to support these people? For as much as we want to reduce crimes in the society, it has to start with us. How are we going to reduce crimes? How are we going to be involved? Right? Yesterday, I was so privileged to be called by my dad. I was so surprised, really, when the big man called me early in the morning, I think around 6-7 o'clock, I was not even awake. And then he was so emotional that even myself, I was so shocked. He's a pastor. Please, that is my lovely dad. He's a pastor and he's very invested in humanity and is these people that he don't judge people, you know? The Bible tells them so much about convictions, the captive, you know, how are you going to free the captives and whatnot. And he's also interested in getting to know the root cause of someone's downfall. What really happened? So yesterday when he called me, he was like, oh, have you heard of this other guy from our village that he committed suicide? And when he committed suicide, Penny, I'm not happy. My daughter, I'm not happy. Because now that you work with these people on the radio, now that you are so invested in their stories and getting to know what really happened to them, even myself, I'm so shocked. Like, what really happened? What could be, what could lead to suicidal thoughts until the person really just committed suicide? So this person, he committed a crime. He has been incarcerated, I think, more than 15 years. And then he got released. When he came back home, you know, village is village. People have their own views of looking at you, especially when you have the background of conviction. They'll judge you. Even when you don't even know what exactly led you to the correctional facility, they'll look at you like, wafembungunga, hold your vanu. But they forgot that you coming from the correctional facility, you have been mezurongalo, you have been corrected, you have been rehabilitated. It's like something took place. Hmm? Something took place, right? And then this person, the story is, he was given the car key to give it to someone. It's like maybe a parent or someone or an aunt. Let me say an aunt. An aunt, I gave him a car key to give it to another person that will be able to drive so that he go collect, something from somewhere to bring it home. So now when this man received the key, when he just get hold of the car key, instead of giving the key to the person that was supposed to receive the key, he decided to go and call, I mean, to take the car, to drive the car and go collect the stuff himself. So now upon him coming back, he managed to drive, collect the things. When he was now driving home, I think muto kwa nyengwango, and then okwidenge moshifidi, your daughter inigenai. So when the car got damaged like that, for him, now my dad told me like it's like he was not even part of that accident, because the car is so bad. The car really, really, really bad. Cause it, he said, even said that it have like turned or something like that. But for him, and then now when people heard of that, they started talking. You know, the uncle is saying what, the little cousin is saying what, these people are saying what, the aunties are saying what, people who also are aware of someone when they're on probation, what are the consequences of doing something like that, you know, they started talking. And then when they are talking, he was also listening and he's observing. And he is aware that you're being released on probation. And even if you just have to point a finger at someone, I mean to someone, it's like, if this person have to complain, lay a complaint against you, you go back to the correctional facility. So I think now he's just start thinking, what, and then what? What will happen again? Will my family take me to report me to the police, and then the police have to come again, do the investigations and whatnot, and I'm already, I already have this conviction and whatnot. What can I do? And then this man, he committed suicide. Now my dad, being a pastor, he's like, man, now this whole thing, when I was just told by people from my village, Penny, I was thinking, what will be the root cause to this man's death? Him just taking a rope and hang himself in a tree. What could be that? This person maybe didn't really receive support or counseling, or what really happened? Were they supposed to do better, or what could be really the problem? And if you have to read between lines, honestly speaking, and looking at that person, you came back from the correctional facility and already you being on probation, there is stories, unpleasant stories that are coming again. Obviously you'll go back. And he will not be excited. He will not be happy to go back to the correctional facility, because he know how it feels to be there. He know it was by the grace of God that he was free. He received the freedom to come back into the society and trying to start a new life. Now this question will come back to you. What do you think the family was supposed to do? What do you think he was supposed to do? Would you say he is guilty of committing suicide and just free himself from all this? Or what would you say? All right. So now remember, we have these stories, right? The first story that we heard, it was a story of Josiah Paulus. My goodness, I'm very excited, my beautiful audience, when we are having this reflection really at the beginning of the year. How? Because right now, everyone, like, you are just on your right track, making all your plans. When you feel like, no, everything, this 2026 is my year, everything is going to be good. But are you ready? Are you prepared emotionally? Are you emotionally intelligent to deal with all the things that will come your way? To deal with people who will provoke your spirit? People who will step on your nose, sit on your nose or step on your on your toes. Are you ready? Are you ready to redirect yourself? Are you ready to be quiet when someone is accusing you? Are you ready to say no to something that will lead you into conviction? Are you ready? Or you just meet a gang of people that will say, no, let's rob a bank. But even before you help us robbing this bank or robbing these business people or this shop or anything related, we are going to give you your 20,000 already, even before you start doing the job. Are you prepared even to receive, I mean, to, are you prepared to reject offers that comes with so much disrespect, with so much danger? Are you ready? Or you are just celebrating the 2026 that comes with new plans and you feel like everything is going to work out? Are you ready when you are going to enter June or July, when you said by that time, you even started already counting your profit that you are going to make in that business, and you did not even, you don't even have the startup capital yet. It's something that you're just calculating in your mind. And when it's not fulfilled, what now? Your mind starts talking to you double, twice, thinking, telling you, but what if you do what? But if you what? And then when you failed, what will you do? Are you ready to go back to your zeros again? Are you ready to hold your feelings and to hold on your tight quickly, like, penny? Right now, that person is insulting you. And you know it's not worth responding. My goodness. It's not even worth arguing with this person. Are you ready for all of those things? We all have pride and ego. But are you ready to lower that before you slap someone by mistake and that person was even sick? Later on, you kill someone when you don't mean to. How ready are you? So the first story that we are going to start with, and that is exactly the story that we firstly had ever since we launched the ex-convict diaries, is the story of Josiah Paulet, who was convicted for 10 years, right? Beautiful audience, if I have to take you to this, I mean, throughout this story and reflect on it, I want you to ask yourself, should we regard this person as a criminal? Really? Because with Josiah's story, he said it was just one day when they were seated at the local shebeens. They were just seated around the table of alcohol, drinking alcohol with his friends. And then a somebody from somewhere, he bypassed their table while they were drinking. And then just the moment he passed by their table, okweshipuma, just a bottle of beer. A bottle of beer. It's just fallen on the ground. So now the Jesse them, they ask this man, oh, brother, don't you see Watila Shomalo Duetu? And then that person, when he responded, it's like he was not sincere or sorry that Okwatila Shomalodovan. And then they started now exchanging words. No, you what? No, you shike, you what? Just a bottle of beer. Ekendele kelo bila la wila pedula tsiru apokonu waita bitipo shitaful. Can you hear that? And then that is where the chepe started. You know, the insult. You know, everyone is growing wings and want to fight the other because of a beer. So these people, they started talking, exchanging heavy words and whatnot. And later on, this Josiah, because after all, we only know Josiah's stories among the whole people. I mean, among everyone at the scene at that time. Josiah decided to go home because he said his house, he just resided very close to the shebeens. When he went home, just upon arriving home, this same person, Ufa Pekendolo Bila Lawila Pedu, he followed him to his house. When he arrived at Josiah's house, he already wants to fight. He went in Josiah's bedroom. They started it from exchanging heavy words and insults to now having a serious fight. And then that time, Josiah took a knife and stabbed this person. This person fall on the ground. People start now calling the ambulance, the police. The ambulance came, took the person, went to the hospital. Just upon arriving at the hospital, the person died. Now, my beautiful audience, I want to take you, I want you to look at this story. I want you to reflect, to look at it, and just imagine now yourself, you seated at a bar, and then a stranger from somewhere bypassed you And then that, just that bottle of beer falling from the ground. How will you react? What will be your reaction? What will you say? What will you do? How are you going to avoid the chepe chepe? How are you going to avoid all, you know, those heavy weights and whatnot? How will you bring in your emotional intelligence? What will you do? That is a question that I'm asking you, and I expect you to come here and at least just share with us, what will you do? So now, you know, this person is now in the hospital. He died, and there is someone that there is the Jesus that stabbed him. That is a conviction of murder. He went to court. You know, he was guilty of murder. He went to the correctional facility. He was given 15 years in the correctional facility. Later on, it was reduced to 10 years. He has been there. And, you know, if you have listened to his story, you can literally tell that this person, the Josiah himself, he even regretted before going to the correctional facility. Because when now he's just back on his senses, because you can tell that that was lack of emotional intelligence. You asking yourself right now, because you're on your senses, you just tell yourself, no man, I can't go to the correctional facility because of a beer. A beer that is less than $50. A beer that is $25. Oh, how much is a beer again? Colleagues, I don't drink beers. I'm so sorry. A beer, something like that, that will lead you to 10 years of conviction. So when he got back on his senses, he regretted it. He pointed a finger to him like, I'm not a criminal, but God, I'm here now. What am I supposed to do? I have to admit my mistake, because he regarded that as a mistake. He is not a criminal. I'll serve all my years in the correctional facility. I'll be a good person. You know, the challenges are there in the correctional facility. You meet other different people who don't even have a dream or wish to come back in the society and thrive or start a new life. And then he told himself, by all means, I'll be a most disciplined person. I'll make sure that I'm cooperating with the members. I must prove myself that, yes, I really want another chance to rectify this mistake. You know, he has served there. He have been there for 10 years. And then now he is back. He is back. He is with us. But one thing that I can remember, I remember from his story, he pressed the button of family support. Jesiah said that he could only made it. He could only gain his freedom because of his lovely sister. Because of the family that will always call, how are you doing? We are coming to visit you. We understand you. We know you. We'll be there until the last day of conviction. He said he couldn't do it alone because he has a family that is supporting him. But how about those people who don't even have anyone? Those people, viitekwa, kuchawarie kalamunga hoso pekuloloka. And the more viitekwa, the more, if like, now, even if I have to go back home, I'm going home for what now? Nobody support me. Nobody love me. No one even calls me. Ah, yeah, let me just stay here. You see, they are even the one that causing more trouble in the correctional facility. But this person is privileged to have a family. You now, my beautiful audience, I believe you also have your relative in the correctional facility. But what role do you play? What do you do? Or you are just this kind of a person of, sotaloloka, nakaloko ngao. Don't you see there is a gap? You also just get that time to reflect, to understand without judging. You know, most of the time people say, speak to communicate. Don't just speak for the sake of speaking because you have a point. Are you communicating? Now when you are looking at this person's story, What role are you playing? Eh? Or you just want to say, because this Josiah moved from his bedroom,
another young cousin must move in Josiah's bedroom. And then when Josiah is back, and then you find this cousin that is in his room, and when you guys never visited him, and later on you expect this person to cooperate, don't you think colleagues, we should also play a role. We have only one goal, one mission, right? We want to support them so that they don't go back to their vomit, so that they don't end up committing crimes over and over and over. Imagine of you, your family history is just conviction. It's Peneambeko's sister that what. It's been even there in Enana. I Peneambeko's sister involved what ewa. In Windhoek, when she moved in Windhoek, Peneambeko's sister what ek. When she moved to Onsati region, Peneambeko's sister's what. How will you feel? If it's just always that one person that is linked, related to you. And now that this person is here, now that Jesaya is here, still is a family that say, no, Jesaya sita tukwefa. We will support you. You know, he is not so educated, but he can do what? He can do welding. But even that he can do welding, he don't have the tools to run his business. He have the knowledge, he have the experience, but he don't have the tools. But, I am back here again, not to repeat the same mistake. He even pressed the button of, yo, me penny, I ran away from alcohol. Alcohol became my biggest enemy now. I don't even associate with people that take a zip of alcohol. I decided to stay away from all of those things. Because after all, the alcohol did not bring any goodness in my life. The only thing it did is took me to the correctional facility, where I have been lonely, where I wasted so many years to grow my life, right? And right now, still it's his family that is helping him to make a living. To make a living, to feel loved again and supported, that you are still the same person that went to the correctional facility. You are still that same person that we love. You are still the person that we love even before you stabbed someone, right? But you, my dearest audience, if you were Josiah's relative or that one sister that he always talk about, will you do the same thing? Will you give the support? Will you show the love, sincere love, you being there? Will you be so genuine that you want to support this person? Will you? Or you just wait for this person to do another mistake and invite the police to come and do that, to come and investigate. Go back to the correctional facility again. And then the whole community will start talking and talking and talking. Sometimes is the role that you play in someone's life really matters. It's not just about the ex-convict, any other person. You are privileged. You are in a good position to help someone. Right now, people are moving to universities. You know, a young child coming from deep in the villages. She has never been in town. Right? But you are that auntie, that cousin that has been in town, exposed to a lot of things. Don't you think you can play this role from the beginning? Try to correct the child, having that conversation, creating awareness. The person needs to know. Don't you think you are the one that said, no, maybe you can, instead of renting Wewe, you can go to Wewe. Instead of what, buying Shike Shike, you can go, instead of what, can't you do ABCD? You are just there, relaxed, waiting for this person to make mistake, and then you start judging them. When you had an opportunity to step in for them, right? Another story is cross-covering story. That was our second story for last year. This story, I would say, I'll connect it with, it's more, this story is, I think it's meant for the youth. And this message will go to young people. Young people
when you are residing to towns, exposed to new environment, starting to have it all, living on your own, having your own freedom, when you have no parent to come and say, "Oshike tojiko izimena, pona do you fiku? Why are you coming from Club Ace 2 o'clock in the morning? Why are you smoking? Why are you drinking? Why are you engaging and associating with yourself with who? You don't have that person anymore. And it's like, that is it's an opportunity for you to come in town and start doing whatever that you want. I would say living recklessly without having any thought of the consequences, the outcome of all that you are doing. Cross said, he was just that child that having a lifestyle of hanging out because of the friends he had, you know, it's just the drinking, the smoking, the clubbing, you know, that lifestyle. And you know, when you are an associate with alcohol related things, clubbing and whatnot, do you think, as a young person that is at university, expected to pass so well, the parents supposed to do so well academical wise, right? But you are the one that's clapping, coming back home 4 o'clock in the morning, but 7 o'clock you are supposed to in the lecture hall. The lecturer is supposed to be to be teaching you already, but you have to miss that out because where? Or plaka ilo, what you guys call it? You are high. Eh? Or will you mombete oe? Mombete taitening anokuli taiku tana ona, because you don't even know where you are. So with him, that becomes his habit, just hanging out, having those friends. Until one day, I am a ningo, and then his phone got stolen. When his phone got stolen, meningo ngomo, mokusaka ngomo ngao. Sorry. He told himself like, "Na meke hidzime ningomunga, itidzimongi nongodzi. Since somebody stole my phone, I'll also steal somebody's phone. Because why would I go home without a phone when I came here with a phone?" Alright? So now he has been drinking, and as he's drinking, he's just trying to figure out, where will I get this phone? Who should I grab this phone from? Or what tactic should I use to get this phone? Remember, this person is drunk, right? It's alcohol that is working now. And he has no fear. So he told himself, whoever I find on my way, the phone is gone. Right? The phone is gone. And then he said, it was around, was it Friday or Saturday in the morning, early in the morning. He was now coming back from the club, right? When he was coming back from the club, you know, morning time, around 5:30, 6 o'clock there, that is when some of the people go to work, right? So there was a woman that was working on the road, trying just to look for a cab so that she go to work. When he saw that woman, that was his target. He targeted that woman that, "I'll chop to her, I'll grab the car back, I'll take my phone." But even that, he said when he just chops that woman and grab the car back to take the phone, there were those morning buddies, those people that jog in the morning. There were people jogging, and then they witnessed what was happening. They ran towards them, and then they catch him, right? He did not grab the phone anymore. He was the one that now caught. Now look at it. You are telling yourself that meningwito dzimo kunongodzi because you lost your phone there. But believe me, if you are home, or you will be suckering meningo pefimbo, and then you have to go home anatango kuyela pefimbo, you won't experience those things. But you waited to stay in a club until 4 o'clock, until 5 o'clock, and then finding your way back home. That is when you have the mentality of grabbing somebody's phone, chopping somebody's phone.
And then, so people called the police. What will happen? Do you think people will just, that is robbery. You robbed someone. Luckily, there were those people that witnessed, they ran, and then they caught you. Imagine a cell phone that you did not even get. Eh? You were found guilty. You were found guilty. You yourself, you also pleaded guilty. Where did you land? You landed to the correctional facility. Now imagine, my beautiful audience, I want you to imagine yourself. You now seated in the correctional facility or sleeping in the correctional facility, thinking like that one student, like Cross, eh? Very intelligent, so smart at the university. Thinking of how this cell phone led you to the correctional facility. What would you say? What are you thinking? When you did not even get a chance or have a chance to use the phone, but where did you land yourself? Because he was given 3 years in the correctional facility, and also have to behave, also have to start explaining to why maybe the years should be reduced and whatnot, until he was also landed to 1 year, 8 months. And believe me, when you listen, the reason why I'm saying Cross story is a story that no one's supposed to miss out. It's because young people, most of the time, ohavi heke. Kucha no, you just go to the correctional facility. Hey, correctional facility kai livalingao. Tokala konoho, tokala toli kuriawe, waiwa toningba shike. You know? Cross narrated the story that there it is not easy. Especially for a young person like that, right? It's not easy. You go there, you find the gangsters, eh? The bosses of the correctional facilities that will bully you, that will harass you, that would want you to even make bigger things. You must make an offense in the correctional facility. The more you are not behaving, the more some years will even be added to your conviction, right? So he even said that is where he got his first tattoo. Imagine getting a tattoo in a correctional facility. You really just think of that experience. Think of the pressure. How will you feel? Eh? There was also a time that he said there were those big men, right? Those big men that would want you to do things that you guys are not allowed to do. He was taught to draw a woman, to draw a picture of a man and a woman making love. Something like a pornography picture of something like that. And then he was told, like, if you are not drawing that picture, I'll cut you with a blade. He said that man stood with a blade wanting to cut him. Right? He started drawing, so vulnerable, as tiny as he is. And then later on, when he's just done, I think he also, maybe God, I would say God came to his rescue. He teared it up. He threw it in the toilet. He flushed it out. And he remember that time, he was so close to be released. Now imagine if the correctional facility officers, these members have to see this, should I say pornography picture of something? It's like you have committed it is another offense. He say it is not easy to be there. Not at all. You learn even a lot of things from people that has been incarcerated for so long. There are people who are there and then they don't even care at all whether they come back out or not, right? So upon his release, when he just earned his freedom, when he came back home, Cross narrated that the only person that has been there for him is his mother. His mother, remember, he is a firstborn, and the mother's love is a mother's love, right? It's only the mother that has been there. The father disowned him as a child. He has nothing to do with him. He has nothing to do with the criminal. Like he has nothing, he has literally nothing to do with him. And now the pressure now from the society, the judgment, the criticism, you know, it comes with so much pressure, the neglection, eh? Speaking the criminal record, right? That pressure. What happened? It's like, as much as he is free from the correctional facility, even that, when he is back home, he was not free. Because the pressure from the society was too much. Eh? Neglection, you know, the friends neglected him. He lost friends. Even those people that used to drink with him and vibe with him, they are not there anymore. Eh? The girlfriend is not there anymore. He found his girlfriend having another boyfriend. You know? Who would want someone that has been in a correctional facility for such a long period of time? And then you come back and then what? We'll start where? Right? So that pressure now. Now imagine you being cross. Just because of all these things. Irresponsible social behaviors. Right? Irresponsible social behaviors. But believe me, when he received a second chance, when I think his chance just arrived that, yo, I think it's another time for me to rebuild my life, to rewrite my story, to start a new chapter, regardless of the stigma, regardless of all these judgments, regardless of everything. It's time for me to be me again. Remember this same person. Another thing. Oh, sorry. I forgot the most important thing, especially young people at the universities. You know, remember he was studying, right? He was at the university. And when he went to the correctional facility, he was still studying. So now during the exams, he will go to the university or to the examination hall, handcuffed, in that correctional facility uniform, writing while, right? And then it was a trauma to the fellow student. He was also traumatized, you know, even though he did so well. Because currently he's an unemployed graduate, finding it very difficult to get a job. But when he started to rebuild his life, he said, no, my story will not end there. Platforms like the Ex-Convict Diaries show they are here for me to share my testimony, to share my story for these kids that are coming. They don't follow my steps. They don't do the same mistake. They don't come to towns here, Windu Kongwe Diva, what, and you start drinking and living a reckless life because you feel like you have a freedom to yourself. You are an adult on your own. Piningo Shiele. It's like he is creating awareness. He's so like, Momalo duno makaya ni kwashikeshke, you being late until that time in a club. It's you are wasting your time. Right? From the beginning, I told you, my beautiful audience, that you are not just, these people, they are not just sharing their story for Mahala. They are not just sharing their stories because they are good speakers or they will narrate their stories to us because we need to know. It's because they are educating us. They have been there. They are creating awareness to teach, to educate people who have never been there. Right? Today is a leader that is a whole inspiration. Right? That's what I keep telling people. Regardless of the crimes committed, you can still thrive. Regardless of the conviction background, you can still thrive. But that will be only possible if you as an individual, you decided to work on yourself. You cannot wait on somebody else. It is you that will tell, like, no, I think it's high time to pick myself up, really to start a new life and to be a better person. Right? It's like he won. He won his freedom. And right now he's sowing a seed. Sowing seeds. Eh? Sowing seeds, right? Reflect. I need you now to reflect on cross story. And evaluate yourself. You as a young person, you as an audience listening to us, also going through things that you don't talk about or anything related, right? And the last story that we had for the year, it is 25 years of conviction. The story of Ninja, Shimwe Feleni Paulus. Ninja, we know him very well as Ninja. My God, you know, when lately I got to understand that there are people who will be hearing of somebody's story and they don't even know exactly what happened. You just heard, what years old man that was convicted for more than 25 years or 10 years was released. He's back in the society now. He's back in the community. And then people will be start manufacturing stories. I heard what. This is the platform that even myself as a host, I'm grateful because I also get an opportunity to know what exactly did you do? What exactly led you to the correctional facility? What crime did you commit? Lela. Apart from the stories that we are hearing. Right? You get to know because you are hearing from the person. Because they say, until you hear it from the person himself or herself, then you know the truth about it. Because they always have, they know what they did. Right? As we can talk and judge according how we see things, how we are hearing things and whatnot, but hearing somebody's story, that's why even when someone have to tell a story, until you listen to both stories, until you listen to someone's person, then that is when you have all the rights to judge. Right? So now, with this story, is a story of 20 years of conviction, right? The Ninja story. Ninja has been incarcerated for more than 25 years. So, if you have listened to Ninja's story, that was the last story that we had. Remember, Ninja came back from exile. He was in Cuba. He was in Cuba, and when he was there for school, you know, situations are so tough, that time, right? And then there was a time before he was convicted for crimes in Namibia. He said while he was in Cuba, there was a time he had a misunderstanding with one of his teacher, right? And then I think he was also convicted for he was in prison for 3 years in Cuba. But later on, when he came to Namibia, it's like he want to start a new life, right? But when he came back to in Namibia, he started living with his family, specifically his mom, right? Noshakati. So he said, when he came here, the only kind of the friends that he had, a gangster, right? And then him coming from exile, him watching so many movies, Mutuma Kwatelana Prison Break. If you could listen to his story, really. So when he came back, when he came in Oshakati, he said there was a time when somebody from the surrounding or a close friend of his stole a television. When he stole a television, he gave it to Ninja to sell it for them, right? When Ninja sold this stolen television, I think the case was reported to the police. So when he went now there to the correctional facility. That is where he met the masters of crimes. Eh? He said he met the gangs there. They forced him, and most of the things that they were interested into is because he can speak, he was linguistic. He can speak a lot of languages. So when they saw him being muscular and speaking languages and whatnot, they saw like, this will be a tool to us. We must recruit this person by all means. This person should be part of us. We will recruit you. Even if you have to be released, you are going to work with us. So he got released. He tried to run away from Kushimbata. Those people followed him. They want to influence him. They want to make sure that he agreed to that. Because they started now manipulating him with money. And then him being vulnerable, knowing that offer can apateke hanga. Right? Keneka patakangi malwa ta offeringwa that offer. So he said he was in that situation of contemplating whether he should just be stuck home, not doing anything, not having any source of incomes, with that living style of, it's like you are not a man or anything related. Or maybe he must just join the gang. Or what he should really do. So from there, he decided, I'll give it a try. I'll join this gang. From there, he joined the gang. They started stealing cars, you know, hijacking people's cars. They started robbing banks. They started doing anything for money. You know, they will steal a car from Namibia and go sell it in Angola. For his work was just to translate and later, you know, he's just part of the gang. They started now doing, you know, committing crimes. I hope you have listened to his story, because you have colleagues, we have so much to learn. We have so much to learn. We have so much to relearn. We have so much to unlearn. And this is the platform that we created, we brought on board, so that you'll be able to learn from something. I mean, from other people's stories. So day by day is conviction. You know, we are aware of his story. And I love it because he's an open book now. Right? He's an open book now. So later on, I mean, one day, he said there was a woman. That woman had a brother in a Krishna facility. And she wants to organize Ninja with his team to go and steal his brother from the Krishna facility. Right? And Ninja, they prepared, because after all, you are doing it for money. And you know, money is just what matters to people, right? Plus, you don't care anymore. The thing became your daily activity. You have nothing to lose anymore, for as much as you are making money. That's it. Because imagine starting from 10,000, 15,000, aningapo akwatapo going to the Krishna facility apo baila talo katapo ningwavishike baila talo takungwavishike shike. It's like, for as much as he can afford bail, then he is a man to do the work. It's fine, right? Until that one day when they organize to go to the Krishna facility and trying to steal that brother of that woman that they were going to be paid a lot of money. So now at the scene, there was other people again that came on board, and now they started shooting against each other, shooting. So now when they are shooting there, that is when the other person was shot by Ninja and his other two friends, and that is when they were arrested by the police. They were arrested, with a helicopter. Imagine someone that will be arrested in a helicopter. Kapuno, we, or police, or helicopter. You can literally tell that this is someone that is really dangerous. Now think of when you have to say, no, I was just a vulnerable somebody living with my mother. I came from exile. An opportunity was presented to me, but I was vulnerable. I'm stuck. I don't have anything, any source of income. right? That is what he would say, or he said. So when he went to the correctional facility, right, because he was already, he was found guilty. He was sentenced to more than 25 years of incarceration. He was also sick because they were shot. He was really shot. I think he said there was even a time when he was shot, I think, close to 12 bullets, because even two bullets, they're still stuck in his body to the parts whereby he cannot receive operation because it's so sensitive, right? He went now in the correctional facility. When he went in the correctional facility, it's like everything changed. It's like he was a building so ready for somebody to live in, and everything went down. Everything collapsed. All the power, all the tactics that he learned from all those movies, all the money that he had, all the luxury life that he's lived because of the money that came from that life and whatnot, it all went to waste. He went back to square one. He became a man of zero, nothing, right? He started living there. And then he said, you know, when I sat there, and then my family, you know, my family came, my girlfriend tried to come and whatnot. He said, that was the day I told my girlfriend, my lovely, stay away from me. Go and live your life. Because when he was just imagining, 25 years from now on, I'm in this building, it is Dimovaj. 25 years from now on, he was now just thinking of it, like, can I not just free somebody's child? Can I not just let this child have her own life and whatnot? I don't want to hold her back on me for her to be coming, to be coming here, visiting me, developing emotions and whatnot. I know what I've been doing. And truly, I have acknowledged all that I have been doing. And it's high time that I just start running. I just go on with it. So yeah, he started living there. You know, there were a lot of gangsters, the recruitment. You meet people there, people with different mindset. And then he said, people, avatula me category. Openo middle, watwato, opena, shike, shike. Maybe according to how dangerous they are or how they behave or anything related. So he had been there. He started now also just adapting to the situation in the correctional facility. He started, contributing to other activities in the correctional facility. That is also a time whereby he longa kuninga shike ku is, what is this? Plumbing and pipe fitting, I think. I think that is the thing. Because today, I think we have heard of he's more on plumbing and pipe fitting. He started also learning English because he said that English, he just, if you can remember last time when we were listening to him, you can listen to Ninja having every good English, even better than my English, I can say that. He said, I started learning. I want to learn. Like, I started being so desperate, wanting to learn and to be a better person. Like, regardless of the conviction that I have, he said, I regretted it. The choices that I made. Remember from the beginning, I said, you have all those good plans for 2026, sir. Some of the plans you lined them out in your diary. Some they are in your notes in your phone. Some they are where, some they are just in your mind. You know, living that good life already in your mind. You being a very biggest business person in your mind. You running a good business in your mind. And when it did not happen again, you will be vulnerable. Any choice, you know, anything that is coming, any offer that you come, you will take it because you are vulnerable. You won't even think about the consequences. My beautiful audience, where are you standing? Are you ready? We are listening to these stories because people want to know, menga to muvenda kwende movali. Gengwa mononyole onga kweyapo. Don't step there. If you see those footprints, it's like ngwengwa, you know, be redirected. These people are trying to redirect you. Like you could have done better. Now that you are listening to these stories, honestly speaking, you will know better, you will do better. For yours is just to implement. For yours is just to put everything to work. Right? So Ninja have been staying there until he get to know, to learn his plumping, until even the correctional facility officers became his friends. You can literally tell that it's a changed man. He started, and then he said, there was just one day when he received his freedom. When he know that, I'm a new person. He said the general commissioner, he said, Ninja, as I look at you right now, I'm seeing a Saul that turned into a Paul. Like, it's a whole transformed person. You can literally tell that you are a whole changed person. And he said he had his computer reviewing him. You came here when you were what? Now you were way. He came here when you were what? Now you are way. He came until he got another opportunity to present something. What is this? At the Marulu Krishna, what? Training? Is it a college? Something like that where inmates, they get trained there and whatnot. So even the president himself, he witnessed that this ninja that we know, this ninja that was feared by everyone in the community, this ninja that you will meet and you have to make sure that you have to make a way for him to pass, eh? It's a whole changed man. It's like we have Apostle Paul now in this correctional facility. From Saul to Paul. He said, and then he said, oh my God, what a privilege to know that I'll be a better man. To know that regardless of the crimes that I have committed, somebody granted me this opportunity. The Krishna facility rehabilitated me. The Krishna facility prepared me to be a better person. Now what will I do? And then he was released. Currently, he is with us. Colleagues, we always see Ninja there. Television, in the street of Katutura, there. Educating young people, always accompanied by the police. You know, creating awareness. They have campaigns and whatnot. It's not because this person just wants to be walking around talking to people. This person, okwi velombedindo tati. There is this says in Oshuambo that says wapukile utila okuti ove walo wawile watile watila kulonda, right? If there was a time you went somewhere and then you get lost, you will have that fear of getting lost again. You have that fear to walk that path again, because there is nothing good that comes out of it. If there was a time while on the continent, because you know the pain, you are aware of the pain that you can never avoid at all cost. You cannot go to the correctional facility, you start getting sick. No, you will pay for what you did. You go to the hospital, alright? So now when he said like, when I just received my freedom, coming back in the society here, remember people have a picture of an old ninja me, but they don't have a picture of the version of new ninja. He said when he came back in the society, people started criticizing him, bullying him. You know, this cyber bullying, you will see, I even witness that every day. Honestly speaking, it's not just about ex-convict. You being online, bullying someone, body shaming someone. So we are not allowed to be fat anymore. We are not allowed to be thin anymore. you now start bullying this person on social media, throwing words, and now do you sometimes place yourself menga kudava kweni? Toti, mangina ndulo nu e babu na shashe no lutula kula. Imagine yourself genova kwa unolutula kula. Or before I claimed somebody to be sick because they are thin. Imagine if you were thin. Not even thin, huh? Unshonangwa ne molutu o shiki washitwa. Yeah? Bullying someone on social media because you say you are saying they are ugly. Because they are dark. Because they don't have good hair. Because they don't have that complexion that please you. Do you sometimes place yourself in menga kudavu, in their shoes, just to feel kucha? Imagine if it was me, someone that is bullying me online. How does that feel? How will I feel? So Ninja, he said, when he came back here, he was bullied and still people are still bullying him on social media. If he say, if there is something, if there's a video of him on TikTok, my goodness, you hear big things, insults, what. And I'm just like, okay, you regarding yourself as a good person, as a well, how should I say it? Matured, well made up. How do you feel insulting someone online? Those big, big, weird words. My goodness, I can't even mention it. I mean, I can't even mention those words. How do you feel? Ilo, you are just ruining your reputation in a business whereby you're not supposed to stick your nose into. Don't you think sometimes, if you are not knowledgeable about something, it will not do you harm by passing this thing. I'm not just talking about now the ex-convict being bullied. Anything in general. You saying a mean word to someone. Colleagues, we keep applausing and speaking about mental health. Do you even understand and know what mental health is? When all in your head is just to judge someone. We keep applausing and speaking about, a very supportive cycle, a support system, what. And a support system, oshike na. Before doing anything, do you also place yourself in this person's shoes? Iloto diladre kucha, pamwe fikuli mwena mohei ka ningo numba, pamwe kantenge kangena kota ka ningo numba, pamwe tate meme kaza nata ka ningo numba, and they me. His shame will be your shame. Her shame will be your shame. Do we also look at those things? It's high time that I think we people genuinely start supporting people. Because if you want, let me tell you, if you want me to change, even if it's in a relationship, I'm seeing a lot of young people giving up on good relationships because they don't want to be corrected, right? You will find someone trying to correct you or to rebuke you, but it's like you yourself, you that is being, corrected, it becomes an offense. And in another hand, you will find someone like you are privileged to correct someone, to redirect someone, to rebuke someone, mepuko, but you are not doing it. Then tomorrow, when this person do a mistake, you are the first person to judge them, but where were you? Where were you when you are supposed to correct me? When you are supposed to support me? When you are supposed to help me filter and make the right choices? Where were you? You were there watching, waiting for me to do a mistake, right? So where are you? Now that Ninja is here, Cross is here, Jesiah is here, with all their said stories of conviction, with all their background of conviction, how do we come in apart from judging? How do we support them? Ne hanototi, ovo pone uninge ukale ne wafange. Ningane ABCD. You know, ningane valo number. Let me help you. What? Let me assist you in this and that and that and that. Where are we? What are we doing? Why do we always just celebrate people's downfalls? when we don't contribute, you know, you fighting knowing that Nando no kwa feila, you were there, you tried. Because sometimes I pity how you let someone aeme puko, de puko lo inako kwa affecting. Let me give you a practical example. Right now, we have uno na va dopo skola, right? Oka na weka dopo skola. But shashoka dopo grade, the results, woo, we are approaching now the results. My goodness, results will be out. We'll be having those failed students, right? Nde shashoka no kadopa, you are privileged to help this child. Uka kale kontumba nde to ima na hokucha, no. You have to go and NAMCO. You have to go to NAMCO. You have to improve. You have to improve. You need to have those points that will take you to the, I mean, to university, whereby you will be privileged to be, for your education to be funded by the government without paying anything. Right? What do we do? Always, when a child fails, you come in with, "Oh, I done enough, kola? Ah, eh? Ita tu kutuva inokuli nonu wo kuli fe ngo beilo wo kuli mame psilo kuniga shike tu nonu iyeta yemwen." Other parents, they are taking their kids a penny, kutunamko to improve, but you overpinning oshie love mwen ekushiwete. Later on, you allow this person to stay here, eh? Ponkunda. Right? This person will start looking after kettles. This person will now be responsible for every work mumbo. Tomorrow, this person will start drinking penny, pundingosh. One by one. Kwaria huila mo grete na tocho nu uditeko, like, wete kucha, this person okuditeko. This person really is educated. Openangwe yo loko pagatikashike? Odula no mume? You see? This person, this child will never be the same as that child. Ina yamo grade na unkwetu. Ina shango o national examination. But otolia teloka na pedo mwene, thinking that you are punishing the child. But after 4 years, after 5 years, when other parents, they took their kids to improve, and then later on they made it to university, they will finish university, they will graduate, they will come back and start building home. Right? They will come back home, and then they will start building home. Them starting to build home, it's another pressure. Why? Because you are now reflecting. I wish will never come to, it will never come to reality. The more you sing these kids now, they graduate, they now got job, they start assisting their parents. What do? You start insulting Ilifavali, kuchatara kunona vokongadzi. Look at people of your age. Look at what. Until what? Until Ilifa will be so traumatized to a point by he will run away from home, type any, kodolop. To go what? To go look for job. Looking for job, kodolopa, you are required to have a curriculum vitae, or CV. You are required to have a qualification. Nearly for qualification, kuina ili pen. No CV, kuina ili pen. Eh? Don't you think you are the cause root? You are the root cause of our dopa petameko. And now you are the one that have all the energy to tell this child, talakunona vokongad. Talakunona ve duladwe. Look at start comparing, starting to put pressure in this person. So when Ngilifa ran away from the village coming to Ongwediva, he will meet the big boys in Angamza location. Eh? Omukamunua komboka pofi. From there, Ngilifa will join the gang. You lost Ngilifa into crimes. Ngilifa tomorrow will be hearing Ngilifa kwa kwa papo. It will be your responsibility to go and take to be visiting Ngilifa. It's a whole damage of, it's like, Oshima nave, shekwe hameka komwenyo, you know. That's why I keep telling people, as soon as you see someone, doing a mistake or making a mistake or in a problem, and you are privileged to, to rebuke them, to speak to them, to encourage them, to filter and make things easier for them. Step in. If you are supposed to offend that person, offend them. But believe me, at the end of the day, when they are going to bed, when they are going to bed, they knew this person spoke to me. This person tried. Even if one of the good days they find themselves sleeping in the correctional facility, they know my sister tried. My brother tried. Eh? Kwala kongerange ni longa yoku follow my penny. At least that 1.6 was enough for me to do what. You know? Sometimes people just need a word of kindness. Just you to be kind like, oh, really? Oh, you are doing so well, man. I'm so proud of you. Looking at you, ne? Back then and now. Oh my God. Honestly speaking, I'm so humbled that I get this opportunity to witness you, the better you, a better version of you. I'm proud of you. Eh? For you just to show that compassion, that humanity, even if you are not offering a dollar, right? Because most of the times, you need to give them money. It's not always about money. Their word of encouragement. You sympathize, you showing empathy, showing the person that I really care. I would want to support you. We hear you. We will support your story. That is what people need for them to keep going. Right? You know, I keep telling people, it's stories like the ninja them, the Jesaya them, and the cross them that keeps me going. That if them, they went to the correctional facility for 10 years, 25 years, and I'm just here home, having a problem of fixing my wig or wanting a new wig because this one is not wigging anymore. Can I not do better? Why would I turn myself in two pieces because I need something that I can't get at the moment? Why can't I be patient? Why can't I try? Or if I hear a story, is this stories of ninja them that keeps me going to a point whereby even when I'm struggling in my own relationship or even when I have a personal problem with someone, I will know how to work on my emotions because I know what lack of emotions leads to. I know the consequences of lack of emotional intelligence. Sometimes people, you just don't want to accept the defeat. You don't want just to fail. You don't want somebody to win over a bad situation. That's why sometimes like, just practice calmness. When that person is insulting you, poka nzungo chota, tamu tambula fano malakana ya ilo tamunu. Even if he say, pene ambeko, you are ugly, like what. And I'm telling my heart, inside, Penny, just be calm. It's okay, just be calm. Hashota shigute ya poshonga. Even if that person, my mother, what, I'm like, you have never seen my mother. You don't even know my mother. Even if you mention you are wasting your own time, you want me to erupt in anger that I will fight with you and fight with you. What if I kill you? What if I find you sick? What if you are a sick person and later on just one slap? It's on the ground, you are dead. And tomorrow I'm convicted for killing someone that even insulted me first. Colleagues, it's 2026. We heard of all of these stories. Let's work on our emotions. Emotions is one of the first things that deceive us. Our pride, our ego. Don't be the man of a man and a woman of muscles. With all your muscles, you will land in the correctional facility. And the correctional facility ninja said that is not safari hotel. My goodness. You will eat those ugly meals. Eh? Every day you eat that meal that you don't even have until you lose appetite to a point whereby you don't want to eat anymore. He doesn't work like that. It's not always like how you guys speak to each other. Work on your emotions. Young people, you are desperate. So desperate that you are going out of your good quality choices. You know, one thing about God, He gave us the gift of making right choices. And even that, those right choices ove mwene piningo shiele. If you're not gonna work on them, maintain on them. So this is 2026. It is now your chance to see, where am I heading? What will I do for to keep myself away from crimes? Because remember, crimes don't pay. Ninja said that crime don't pay. There is nothing good about crimes. Young people, you are encouraged. People are emphasizing with you. It's like now they are pleading with you that stay away from crimes. Stay away from those irresponsible social behaviors. University, you start drinking, you start being, you are telling yourself you are this slay queen that is living a good life, and tomorrow when you have that unwanted pregnancy from a married man, eh, you want to commit suicide, or you want to abort a baby, tomorrow what? The police will catch you. You go to the correctional facility. You have all the opportunity, all the chance to make the right choice for your future. Because everyone want to be a good person. Everyone want to have a beautiful future. Everyone want to be, to have a good history. Eh? These people, you know, the ex-convict diaries, people are telling us our story so that we don't land in the same problems again. They are educating us. They care so much for us. And even that they care for us, we are the ones that judging them again. So colleagues, regardless of all of these things, it's our responsibility as families, friends, and the community at large to support these people, to support the ex-convict, to see how we can assist them so that at the end of the day, they will not be able to be what? To go and commit crimes. There is a very interesting story still about my dad that I have to share quickly before we close off. He said, you know, when he was a student pastor, he loved soccer. My dad loved Manchester United so much. Oh my God. Even you have to be eating dinner and then it's Manchester United that is, that is playing, the prayer will be on hold for him to watch, his team playing. So he said when he was a student pastor that time, he loved watching soccer, and home he didn't have television. So there was a time when he went to the Shebeens. Apangone have ongalangone na matungone vya wabungu na tatalo TV indi shine tatale tanga. So one day, when he went ngone in that bar, it's like poshi punzi or kwanga ka punon. He found that seat empty. So, and he didn't know someone was there. Yeah, mwenge maripo. So when he just got seated, settled, and just watched he started watching his team playing ngashishito, right? So that one person, when he came in the bar and then he found him seated on that chair, he just grabbed him. Vachoko yungu watei kotae. Tena neneponji oka bar. Kucha, ah! Ole utaka tumbulo langonga. You know, anwa komiku ndeshiveli. Ole utaka, yekashine kucha noho pastori ka. Tipula kucha pastoro tani gishikabi. Can't be him. So, kwe mfala no kuliponji. You know, my dad was like, you know, ne? Daughter, me being a man, and a fellow man again, akwatango tae, tafalange ponje shashi, ndakantumba koshipundi, sorry, ndakantumba koshipundi wala kantumbapo. Honestly speaking, in my mind, ni longa yu pastor on the idzimbwa manga, cause I was just thinking about, by the time pa ponje, and then by the time at I 10, iturame kongo yon, that person is down. But luckily, other people noticed that he is so angry that he might even do something bad because of the instant emotions and feelings. So luckily, just by the time he turned, another person, like the owner of the bar, you know, the owner of the bar, okulina ipo katika vonge nongaha, he's the one, amonakucha, no, I have the right to discipline this person because this other person that wanted to fight my dad, kenomi kalo, anuvenya kongwe saka, ikenga eku ningeshike, eku tulemo problem. So he was saying, oh, that was the last time Ndatala or TV no kuliko mambo. That is even the time the day I decided to go and buy my own TV, because when I settled, when I'm in my bed, ndafulane ngayenga ndafulamandi fululukango hewa, I'm thinking, yo, imagine if I could have that dengo no ongoing. Imagine how the news will circulate all over Namibia kucha. student pastor beat someone at the Shebeen while they were drinking and whatnot, when he never had the taste of alcohol, he was like, my goodness. Imagine now, you know, look at it, reflect on it. Those instant feelings, eh? What the consequences that will come with that? Look at it. Will you be able also to calm yourself down, to think of the consequences? No. Oh, beautiful audience. Thank you so much that we have been on board listening. And I'm your host, Penny Ambego Jonas, and writer. We came to the end of our program show, and I'm just encouraging you that please. Follow us on our social media pages. Go to YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. We are there, Eagle FM Namibia. And also, if you have a smartphone, please go to Play Store and download the Eagle FM app so that you'll be connected wherever you are. Even if you are traveling in the bus, you are listening to the radio. So thank you so much. Until we see each other again next Sunday.